Okay, so the shiur is about halachic topography. Okay, good. And I'm going to start with the halacha, the mitzvah of not returning to Mitzrayim. Okay, but
the right of no return.
The right of no return. Yeah, well, very good. But it's, you know, it's in the framework of Eloni Chumash, so it's, you know, it's, we're going to use the halacha, but we're going to use the halacha for the purpose of deriving philosophical ideas. Okay, we'll try to define it a little bit, but that's not really our purpose. So that's how I'm justifying not being able to fully define the halacha, okay? It's hard to find stuff. Okay, so we'll start off here. It's the Rambam is in Hilchos Malachim, Perek Hei Halacha Zayin. Okay, we're going to read two and a half halachos. Okay, so look at this. The Ram starts off, the beginning of the parak is about destroying Amalek and the fact that whenever king conquers land, when the king conquers land, it becomes like Eretz Yisrael. Okay, Ram's like this, halacha zayin. Umutter lishkom b'chol ha'olam chutz me'eretz Yisrael. So it's mutter to live anywhere in the world, to lishkom, to dwell, right? Anywhere in the world except for Eretz Mitzrayim. And then the Ram defines the borders, what's Eretz Mitzrayim. He says, Min hayam agadol maravi, arba amas parsa, keneged Eretz Kushu, keneged Amidbar, hakol asol is yashiba. So that entire block of land, right, on the map, 400 parsa by 400 parsa, it's asur to live there.
Is that based off, while he was living, what Mitzrayim was, or based off the biblical understanding of what Mitzrayim is?
Yeah, I think it's the biblical understanding of Mitzrayim. Just like Eretz Yisrael has its own borders and it doesn't go by the state of Israel, so too, like, Mitzrayim has its own borders and it doesn't go by the state of Egypt, right? The nation state, but it goes by the halachic Mitzrayim. Okay? So those are its borders. Right? It's a square. Interesting. Right? Okay. Ubishloshe mekomos, his hira Torah shalalashim lemitzrayim. So in three places, and we're going to look at these three places in a second. So in three places, the Torah says not to return to Mitzrayim. Okay, it says, the Ram quotes all three psukim. Lo sosifu in lasha v'derech hazeh od. Lo sosif od l'rosa. Lo sosifu l'rosa od ad olam. Right? You'll no longer return on this way anymore. You will no longer see it anymore again. And you won't see it again forever. The Alexandria b'chal Isser. So Alexandria is including the Isser. I don't know why. I mean, it's a suffix in the Gemara. I didn't really go through the sources. Okay. Okay. So before we go on, I just want to show you these three places the Rambam quotes. Right? They're very strange places for the Isser. Right? It's not like an open... it doesn't like openly say exactly, don't go back, don't go live in Mitzrayim. Okay, so it's, let's see, the first one is Shmos Yadalad Yud Gimel. Okay. Shmos Yadalad Yud Gimel. Okay, so this is basically on the Yamsuf. Okay, we're dealing with the Isser of going to return to Egypt. Return, also to return to live in Egypt. So the first time the Torah warns about it, so it's the Yamsuf, the Jews are on the Yamsuf, and Paro's chasing after them. And Vayusu b'nei Yisrael say, Ne'am v'nei Mitzrayim nosei achareyam v'yirim od v'yetzugu b'nei Yisrael Hashem. So they're very scared, they see Egypt. Vayim re'moshem v'yim k'var Mitzrayim k'chtanomos b'midbar, you took us out, there's warning of graves. In Egypt, you took us out to die. Ma'azos ha'sizolano l'tzayam v'mitzrayim. What have you done to us to take us out of Egypt? Okay, why'd you take us out to be... why do you basically take us out of Egypt? Okay, good. So Moshe says back to them, don't be afraid, stand here, and watch the salvation of Hashem, that he'll do for you today, because that which you see the Egypt today, right, Egypt here refers to the Egyptian army, presumably. You will not see them ever again. You will not see Egypt again. Hashem yilachem lachem, God will fight for you, v'atem tacharishim, and you just be quiet. Okay, that is the first time the Torah warned us about going to return to Egypt. Right? It's kind of like, you see the Ramban, the Pasuk, it's like, you wouldn't exactly said this is an Isser, the Doros, to go live in Egypt. Right?
It's saying, like, it's just like a thing at that time, like, why would you want to go back to that situation?
Yeah, it's almost like he's giving them a speech. He's giving them, don't worry about these, stand still, God's going to fight for you, these Egyptians, you're afraid they're going to kill you, you're never going to see them again. Right. Not saying, okay, here's a mitzvah, I davar shem Moshe leimor, davar shem martohem, lo sasha v'mitzvah, right? It's fine. Okay, fine. But that's the first time the Torah warned us. According to Torah Shabbat, that's the first time. Okay, the next one is in Dvarim, Yud Zayin Tes Zayin. Okay, in the end, we're going to analyze at the very end, if we have time, what these places all have in common. Okay, but first we're just going to go through them. Because this is a Chumashir, you know. It's a Chumashir, you can't just... Dvarim Yud Zayin Tes Zayin. Okay, so it's in Shoftim. Okay, so the pasuk says like this: Som tasim alach amelach asher yivcha Hashem lekecha bo mikar v'checha tasim alach amelach. Okay, so basically appoint a king over you. Okay, you appoint a king. Rak now Torah is an iser for the king. Rak lo yar belo susim. Don't he's not allowed to have the king can't have too many yar belo, like riboy, an excessive amount of horses. And he shouldn't return the Am to Mitzrayim in order to get excessive horses. Horses were the tank of the you know, of the day. The cavalry, the horses.
Why would they go back to Mitzrayim for that?
So that's what Ramban explains. He's saying horses were the cavalry of the day, and the horses, Egypt produces horses. So if you, and in fact, when Shlomo really did try to buy a lot of horses, he ended up having trading outposts. He ended up setting up trading outposts in Egypt in order, because you do a lot of commerce with Egypt, because you're buying all these horses, you're doing a lot of trading. So he ended up setting up trading outposts, and he ended up establishing a presence in Egypt, which exactly is the point of the pasuk, don't do that. Okay? V'Hashem Amar Lachem, God told you, Lo Sosifun Lashuv L'Derech HaZeod. Right? So God already told you, which we don't really know exactly where. Maybe it's referring to the Yam Suf. God had told you that you should not, you should not return to that way again. Okay? So it's telling us, it's like the reason for, it's like almost like ancillary. It's like, it's telling us the key, the real issue of the law here is don't have a lot of, the king is not allowed to accumulate an excessive amount of horses. Right? He's got to keep his military in check. But, and the reason why Torah gives is because horses are in Egypt, and you're going to have to go down to Egypt to get the horses, and God said you can't return on that way again. Okay, again, it's like a funny place for it to be put, but okay, that's where it puts it. Okay, by the king. And the last place the Rambam mentions, it's Dvarim Chavches Samaches. So it's the last pasuk in the Tochacha. Okay. Okay, so it's like this. We'll start a few psukim earlier. It says, "V'efitcha Hashem mikol b'chol am mitzayish aretz v'akitzay aretz." God's going to scatter you right across all the lands of the, you know, all the lands of the world. V'avata Hashem elhim achir mashal yidata ato osech etz v'aven, and you're going to end up working for Avodah Zarah, not serving Avodah Zarah, but you'll be working for them, working in churches, working in different places, but working for the Avodah Zarah. Uvagoyim mahem lo zargiyav lo yet manoch l'chaf raglecha v'nasan Hashem l'cha shem leiv ragaz v'chayon einayim v'davo nefesh. So you're going to be frightened, you're going to have a trembling heart, and you have pining eyes, and your soul's going to be despair, a terrible state. V'ayu chayecha tfluyim l'cha mineged, and your life is going to hang for you in the balance. Ufacharta l'ayla v'yomam, you're going to be afraid night and day. Losam bechayecha, you have no trust in your life, in your very existence. You're going to feel a very unconfident whether you're going to be able to even make it to the next day. Baboker tomar miyitein erev, erev tomar miyitein boker, and the day you're going to say, well, that it was the night before, that was better. It's just in the nighttime, you'll say it was the morning, is because it's always getting worse and worse. Mipacha levavcha shatifchad, from the terror in your heart. that you have, umimarinayim inecha shetera, and from basically what you see. So the horrors that you're going to witness and the fear that you're going to have, it's just, it's always getting worse and worse. Veheshivcha, and it's like the end of it, last pasuk, is the culmination of the Tochacha. Veheshivcha Hashem Mitzrayim Baniyos, and God is going to return you to Egypt in ships. Baderech Hashem Marti Lacha, Lo Sosif Od Lerosa. In the way, in the path, in the way that I already told you, you will no longer see it. So God is going to return you on that way, which He told you, don't go back. You're not going to go back that way. V'ismakartim sham lo'ivech al avadim uvilishvachos v'in konet. And you're going to be sold as slaves, and nobody's going to even want to purchase you. Right? Too many Jews, not enough demand for the amount of slaves being sold. Okay, so again, it's coming up in like the Tochacha. This is like the third time where the Torah warns us not to go back to Egypt. It's like funny. It doesn't really even sound like a warning. It sounds more like it's one of the klalos that you're going to go back on just, but it like references, it's like always referencing it indirectly. I don't really have an answer to this question, by the way. I don't want to get your hopes up. I should preface that. It is weird, okay? It's weird, okay? You're not going to have an answer. But it's always referencing it like accidentally, okay? It's at the Yom Suf, Moshe's giving a pep talk. You know, don't fear them, you're not going to see them again. It's the king, don't have too many horses, so you don't end up having to go back where you're not supposed to go back and over here. Same thing. It's in the Tochacha, you're going to end, the God's going to return you on boats against your will, and you're going to be sold as slaves, and okay, good. You're going to go back to Mitzrayim, the place where I told you not to go. Okay, good. So we're going to come back at the end to what these three places have in common. These three places where Torah warns us. Okay, because I'll tell you one thing, I might have answered a little bit, but the Torah is like weaving the Isser of going back to Mitzrayim into it's weaving it into specific places. It's not just saying it as its own parsha in the Torah, but it's always placing it in a certain context, which we'll get to at the end. Okay. Now go back to the Rambam. Okay, the halach again. Is mutter lachzo es Mitzrayim l'schor l'prakmacha. So you're allowed to return to Egypt for business. Okay? U'lichbosh arzo zacheros. And you're allowed to go through there if you want to conquer lands. So you have to pass through. You need to use it as a pass through. You're allowed to walk through Egypt. It's not necessary to like go in there. Vein aser el lishtakeh sham. The only iser is to really set root there. Okay? To really dwell there. Permanently. Vein lokin alav zeh shebeis sheknisa aknisa mutterhu. When you enter it, there's no iser. It's not aser just enter.
What's the problem with lishon with it?
That was horses. There's a separate iser to have too many, to accumulate horses. Okay. The only, it's not us, the no, when you enter in, it's not an Isser, just going into Egypt is not Isser. V'imyachshav leishev lishtakeya imbo maisa. And then if you decide, you change your mind, you say, no, you know what, I want to actually stay here permanently, so you're not doing a maisa. So if you don't get malchus for this. Okay, that's the part we're not really going to take up, the formulation exactly of this lav. I'll mention a little bit, but, okay, that's the Rama. Okay. The yearly. Okay, and the Rambam says like this. And there's an interesting Rambam. The yearly she'im kavash melch Yisrael eretz Mitzrayim al pi beizdin, that if the king of Klaius, if the king, basically a Jewish king, conquers Mitzrayim, right, through the proper way, through Sanhedrin Gadol, he does it all the halachic way, she'im muteres, it becomes as Kedushas eretz Yisrael, Mitzrayim could get Kedushas eretz Yisrael, so then it becomes mutter to live there. V'lo his hira Torah el alashiv lo yachidim, the Torah only asked to return to it as individuals, O Lishkon Bavihi Biyad Goyim, or to dwell there, and it's in the hands of the Goyim. Neshemaseh Mikukolam Yosir Mikol Arzos, because it's the actions and behaviors of the people of Egypt are more degenerate. They are the more degenerate from all the other lands, the most degenerate. Shenemar Kamaiser Es Mitzrayim. Okay, and it's a partial letter on the Arayos, which we're going to look at soon. Okay, so that's the Rambam's Tom. So if you conquer it and you give a Kedushas Eretz Yisrael and the Jews are living there, and it's then yeah, you're allowed to live there. Okay, it's only also when it's Biyad Goyim that you're not living in Mitzrayim. Okay, you're allowed to live Mutter Lishkan B'cholom Chutz Me'eretz Mitzrayim.
But it's not, it's Goyim living in that land, it's not Goyim in general.
No, yeah, so you can live in America, no problem.
Right, so then what's he saying exactly?
He's saying that the actions of the people living in Egypt, okay, are the most degenerate of all the...
So it's the Egyptians living in Egypt, but if you had Americans living in Egypt, that wouldn't be the issue.
They'd become Egyptians. The land corrupts. You mean like if all Americans moved to Egypt?
Yeah, let's just say, it's a different society just in that land.
I mean, halakhically, they're Egyptians. They'd be Egyptians, halacha. Yeah.
Very unsatisfying.
Yeah. That's halacha. Okay, maybe we'll explain it. You'll see at the very end. Maybe what the idea we'll give at the very end might help explain that. Okay, but it seems that's halacha. Okay, now the very next halacha. Aser lotzeis me'eretz Yisrael l'chutz la'aretz l'olam. Okay, it's aser to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to chutz la'aretz always. It's always aser. Ela l'ilmo Torah, olisa isha, olahatzel miyad goyim v'yachzel la'aretz. Except to learn Torah, or to get married, or to save, I guess maybe it means to save money, or to save, maybe that's what it means from goyim stole your money, you're allowed to go out to chase back and get it, and then you return back to the la'aretz. V'chein yotzeh l'schor. And for a business trip, you're allowed to go back. Avolishkam b'chutz la'aretz, aser. But to go dwell in chutz la'aretz is aser. Elim kein chazak sham harav, ad shenasa sheva dinar chitim b'shnei dinar. Until if you have excessive hunger, a famine, then you can go out. Okay, I guess it means it comes to nefashos. Okay, good. Okay, so the problem is like this. That's as far as we're going to read in the Rambam. Is what just happened? What just happened? Okay? The Rambam's talking about aser live in Egypt. You can't go back to Egypt. Right? Two halachos, fine, he defines it. And then all of a sudden, it's usher to go, to leave Eretz Yisrael, to go to Chutz La'aretz always. And you have these few exceptions, but they're only temporary. Then you have to go back. Okay, but he just said earlier that it's mutter to live anywhere else except for Mitzrayim. So why can't I leave Eretz Yisrael and go to Chutz La'aretz? I'm allowed to live anywhere I want. I'm not going to Egypt. I'm just going to New York. Right? What's the problem?
Okay. Like it's a sort of deny, like, to the land.
Deny the land. Okay, but you know what? Like, where does that come from? Like, where did it come from? There's like no source for this Rambam. Is it like the Rambam does not hold there's like a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? It's not in the minyan mitzvahs. The Ramban argues, right, exactly. And there's no, where does the Isser come from? It's just all of a sudden there's like an Isser to leave Eretz Yisrael. Okay, it's one of the problems in the Rambam. It's just like there's no source. You can check everywhere, and there's no, right? Okay, it's just a crazy thing. The Rambam just goes all the way, right? Okay, and it seems like it's a contradiction almost, because if you tell me I can live anywhere, what's going on, right? Okay. Okay, so I'll try to jump to the answer. And then we'll work our way back. The first thing, basically, I'm going to say is if you look at the Lashon of the Rambam, it's really the Lashon of the Pesukim, okay? It's not really an Isser to live in Egypt. Well, let me start that before I get to that. You can have a question, okay? Is Egypt really just the worst place in the world, okay? Or is it a complete coincidence that we left Egypt? Okay, that there's the idea of Yetzias Mitzrayim on Pesach, right? We were taken out of Egypt. Okay, or is it just, no, Egypt is horrible. Okay, it's like the worst place in the world. It could have been like Madagascar. It could have been Argentina. It could have been Australia. It could have been any place that, I mean, I don't know why Australia wasn't, you know, the Aborigines were living there, really, Avodah Zarah, even worse than the Egyptians. Like, it's just, it happens to be Egypt is the worst place in the entire world, and like that, you can't live there, there's no other, you know, or is there some connection to the fact that there's Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we were in Egypt, you know? So that's like the first thing that bothered me, is it just seems like it's just too coincidental to say that, besides the fact that your question obviously bothered me, of like, it's just an evil land, it's very funny to think there's something else like an evil land. Sounds a little mystical, you know? But okay,
you know,
fine.
Plane and all of a sudden
those things don't really bother me. Mystical, okay, I can handle mystical. But it's just like, you know, it seemed too coincidental that it has to do with Egypt. But if you look, I think it's not just too coincidental. I think if you look at the Psukim, okay, what they say over and over is not don't live in Egypt. It says the Ram himself. He says the b'shloshim mekomos his hira Torah shlo lashuv leMitzrayim. Okay, it three places in the Torah a warn not to return to Egypt. It doesn't say leishev, not to live lehisyashev or lishkon to dwell. Mitzvah Rambam says, but he's saying the law of returning to Egypt. Okay?
So that, is that mashma that you can't even pass through it?
No. I'm saying that returning is because we left. Okay. We were in Egypt for a few hundred years. We were taken out of Egypt. Okay? So by when the Jews are at the Yamsuf, okay? God's saying you're not going, Moshe's saying they don't worry, you're never going to go back. You're not, don't have to worry about these Egyptians. They're coming to take you back to Egypt. That's what they're coming to do, right? They said, what have we done that we've sent out Klai Yisrael from serving us? It's a tremendous economic loss. So Moshe says, don't worry, they're never going to take you back. Right? Lo sosifun od l'rosa. You'll never go back to Egypt, okay? But it's the idea, they just left Egypt, and Moshe is saying, you're never going to go back. Okay? And also in the Tochacha, it's God's going to return you, but derech Hashem ma'atlecha lo sosif od l'rosa. Right? You know, lo sosif od. The pasuk always says, lo sosif od l'rosa, lo sosifun l'rosa od adolam, lo sosifun mashu b'derech hazeh od. Right? It always says the word od and lo sosif. Right, it's an additional. It's because we were in Egypt once, and we're not going to. It's also to return again, further, more, and live there again anymore. We were there enough. Okay, but it's clear from the way the psukim are formulated. Lo sosifun loshav b'derech hazeh od. Okay, you will no longer continue to return on this way. Okay, it's the idea of returning back to Egypt. It's not just an idea of like, this is the worst place, you can't live there. But as we were in Egypt, we were taken out of Egypt. You're not allowed to return back to Egypt. Okay? It's tied to the fact that there was Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay? And this is, so to speak, the Yetzias Mitzrayim took us out. This is, so to speak, undoing the Yetzia. It's returning back to Egypt.
What's the problem with that?
What's the problem with that?
Yeah.
No problem so far. I'm just making a point. Okay? We're going to use that. It's going to be the critical move, okay? Is to say that it's not an Isser specifically. If the Jews were never in Egypt, okay, and there was never Yetzias Mitzrayim, you couldn't. I don't know whether there might be this Isser or not. Okay, in theory, you could argue there would be, but you couldn't formulate it this way. Okay, you can never say you never return anymore to live in Madagascar. What do you mean return to? We never were in Madagascar. It doesn't make any sense. You could say don't live there, but you can't say don't return anymore. Lo sosifun od implies that you were there once. You can't be anymore and you can't return there. Okay. The second point is like this, is the fact that it's always is loshav. Ram says it, right? So lo loshav lo yachid, and to return there is lo sosifun loshav baderech hazeh od. Is that, I want to say is that it's, there's an idea of a derech. Okay, there's an idea of a derech here. Okay, that there was, we were taken out of Egypt, and we were on a path, okay, from Egypt to Har Sinai, ultimately to bring us into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so there was a derech, right, that was the pasuk in the Shalach. I should think about this now, but... the pasuk in the beginning of Bishalach. Right, Vayhi Bishalach Parasam, V'lo Nacham Elokim, Derech Eretz Plishtim Kikarov, Ho'uki Amar Elokim, Penyanachem Ha'am Berosa Mechamah V'Shav Mitzrayimah. Vayasev Elokim Es Am, Derech Hamid Bar Yam Suf. Okay, so there was like a Derech where we left Egypt, there was a specific path chosen that God selected out for us. And the Anan was leading us. We were following God. Lechtech achar b'amidbar. Right? We followed God out of Egypt. Right? And God chose a specific path because He was afraid if He chose a certain path, we're going to return back. So it's saying don't return back on that path that you left Egypt for. Okay. So what I want to say is that really that path starts in Egypt and ends in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, and that was the plan that God tells Yaakov, right? He says, I'm going to go down with you in Mitzrayim, and then I'm going to bring you back up and go up with you to Eretz Yisrael. Okay? And that was always the Havtacha that God sends Moshe to Bnei Israel, is He's promising to take us out of Egypt and bring us into the land of Israel. Right? Okay, so I want to say that according to the Rambam, that the Isser is not so much as to live in Egypt as much as it's to return on the path to Egypt. And basically, there's halachically, okay, when you divide up the world into three places, you divide the world into Mitzrayim, Eretz Yisrael, and everywhere else, Shar Arzos, Chutz Laretz, right? So if you go from anywhere into Mitzrayim, that's considered returning to Egypt. If you go from Eretz Yisrael to anywhere else, that's also considered returning to Egypt, returning on the path, okay? You're not in Egypt yet, but you're going from Eretz Yisrael towards Egypt. Okay, what do I mean by this? Okay, that's the basic approach I'm gonna have to answer the problem. But I'm gonna make, it doesn't make sense yet, I don't think. Right? You need a little bit to make sense of this, okay?
What path are you talking about?
Oh, exactly. What path am I talking about? Okay, what is going on, right?
Slippery slope back to Mitzrayim?
Yeah, what is going on? Okay, I'm gonna tell you the path. This is what I mean, but basically the path I'm referring to is you have to look at the world, not in terms of regular geography, but in the topography of Kedusha. Okay?
Halachic topography.
Halachic topography of Kedusha. Mm-hmm. Okay? So what do I mean like this? So the Mishnah, it's in Samach Tesman Alf in Kedusha. Okay? So the Mishnah says, Asar Yichsen Alam Ivava. So, okay, fine. So it's 10 different types of people, okay, with their Yichus. Doesn't really matter. They went up from Bavel. Okay. So the Mishnah asks, My area, the Tanu Alumi Bavel, Nisnu Halchel Eretz Yisrael? Right, why are you saying they went up from Bavel? Just say they went to Eretz Yisrael. I mean, they went up from Bavel. Right? So the Gemara is like this. Mils Agav Orcha Kamash Moan. So the Mishnah just thought, cute thing, it'll teach us a separate point. Okay? Kedetanya. So this is a pasuk in Dvarim. Okay? It says, V'kamta V'lisa Amakam Asher Yivcha Hashem Lekecha. Okay? So it says that you will go up in Valisa, and you'll get up and you'll go up Valisa to the place which God chooses, okay, which is the Beis Hamikdash, okay. Melamed sheBeis Hamikdash gavoh mikol Eretz Yisrael. So this teaches you that the Beis Hamikdash is higher than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, it's higher. It's not literally, by the way. Okay. The Eretz Yisrael gavoh mikol ha'aretzos, and Eretz Yisrael is higher than all the other lands, because if you're always going up when you go to the Mikdash, it must be that anywhere in Israel you go up to the Mikdash, you're going up, and if you're coming from any other land, right, it must be that Eretz Yisrael is higher than any other land, and the Mikdash is higher than any other place in Eretz Yisrael. Bishlam Beis Mikdash gavoh mikol Eretz Yisrael. I understand the Beis Mikdash is higher than any place in Eretz Yisrael. Hayne dichsiv. Divrei Rivas b'sherecha v'kamta v'alisa. Okay, so that's a pasuk by, I think by Zakin Mam, right? Okay, so you see that the Mikdash is higher than any place in Eretz Yisrael. El Eretz Yisrael gavoh mikol ha'aretzos minolan. How do I know that Eretz Yisrael is higher than every other land? Tichsiv, lochein hine yamin boinu Hashem, lo yom o'od hashchai Hashem asher helaz b'nei Yisrael meretz Yitzrayim. So in the Asa Lavo, the Geula Sida, people are no longer going to say the God that brought Bnei Israel up from the land of Egypt. Kim Chai Hashem Asher Hela V'Asher Hivyas Bnei Israel Eretz Safon Mikol Arzos Asher Adichtim Sham. Okay, but they'll say that the God who brought the Jews up from all the lands which they were scattered to, where they're pushed off to. Okay, so you see that it's considered an aliyah. When you're going to Israel, no matter where you're coming from, it always has a din of aliyah. You are making aliyah, right? And in fact, people say that, okay? It's an aliyah. To go to Israel is an aliyah, you're going up, and to go from Israel out is considered yirida, going down. The same thing is from Israel going to the Makom Mikdash is considered an aliyah, and from the Mikdash, Yerushalayim, to anywhere else is considered yirida.
Like
Aliyah LeRegel, exactly. The Lashon of Aliyah LeRegel is because you're going up. Okay? But, okay, the key is like this, is that you have to understand that you can look at things in like different frameworks. One is, you know, altitude, right? In terms of altitude, are you going up or are you going down? That's like one framework of looking at the world. And then you're going to say that Eretz Yisrael, in fact, is not the highest place in the world. Okay? It's true. In terms of altitude, It's, you know, I don't know what people who take everything literally do, but it's just, it's not true. Like for example, Mount Everest, it's definitely higher.
Heard someone
definitely
quote this and try to take it literally.
Oh yeah, no, I think the Maharshal, the Maharshal tries to take it literally. He says, he says what it means is the world was created first from the Mikdash and Eretz Yisrael, and it's like a ball. So like that's on top of the globe. You know, it's like he's pretending that like space is not like there's a direction in space, like there's really a real up and down in the world.
Looking at it like a cartoon kind of.
Yeah, right. Like, you know, and therefore it's like that's the correct vantage point to look at the world, is like for Eretz Yisrael on the top. But like it doesn't make sense, because the reason why there's even a direction of up and down is because of gravity. That's what makes directions, right? Up, gravity creates directions. That's why Australia, up and down and our up and down are totally opposite, right? Because it's all to do with gravity. And it doesn't, Earth is not in a gravitational field which points from Eretz Yisrael down. So it's just wrong, okay? That's not the point, okay? I'm not kidding, that's not the point. That's not the right, I don't think that's the right way to look at it. Okay, but, okay, what's the right way to look at it? Is it's talking about, you have to, it's in the framework of Kedusha. Okay, is that Eretz Yisrael has the highest kedusha? Has whenever you're going from any other land to Eretz Yisrael, you're going up in terms of kedusha. Okay, and when you're going from anywhere in Eretz Yisrael to the Mikdash, you're going up in terms of kedusha. Okay, so the halacha breaks up the world. It doesn't look up the world necessarily in terms of altitude, but like you could also look in terms of temperature. You're going from a warmer place to a colder place, colder to warmer. There's like a gradient. There's like a direction which like the temperature increases, right? So there's a direction in which the Kedusha increases, and that's in Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha increases. Okay, so you're always considered going up in Kedusha. Okay, Kedusha, you have a question? Okay, so you have to look at Kedusha just like hot and cold, okay, or like high and low, right? You have to look at it, it's like a scale. Okay, at the highest level you have like the most Kedusha, like in Kedusha and Tara, right? And the other scale you have like Toma, right? Toma Chulin, right? And like you see also, like we have a principle, okay, of Ma'ilin B'Kodesh V'lo Moridin, right? By Chanukah we employ it, you're not allowed to turn, if you sell a Sefer Torah, you're not allowed to buy a Chumash, right? But if you sell a Chumash, you can buy a Sefer Torah, right? There's like different things at different levels of Kedusha, Chumash, Nevi'im, right? Based Knesset, based Medrash, right? Or different levels of Kedusha. And there's a principle of Ma'ilin B'Kodesh V'lo Moridin. So you see like higher levels of Kedusha. That's the lashon that halacha uses, is considered aliyah. It's considered going up. Okay, so Eretz Yisrael, since it's has more kedusha. So when you're going there, you're considered to be going up, and when you're leaving, you're considered to be going down. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
What exactly you mean by kedusha? Yeah.
Okay, what do you mean by kedusha? Well, halachically, it means, you know, the kedusha manifests itself in terms of certain laws, like certain things you're able to do. You can eat Maaser Sheni Yerushalayim, or Trumos and Maasros in Eretz Yisrael. But what it really means in terms philosophically, and that's really the framework I'm speaking in, we're going to get to in a second. That's basically what the bulk of this year is going to... Okay, good. But yeah, what I mean by Kedusha. Okay, so we'll explain in a second. Okay, so before we get to that point, just the last... So I want to say like this, is just like Eretz Yisrael is like the highest land, okay, so Mitzrayim is the lowest, right? Is that, you know, Vayered Avram Mitzrayim. You're always going, in Egypt, wherever you go in Egypt, you're always going down. It's always considered the Yerida, okay? Aram Yamida Avi, Vayered Mitzrayim, right? That Yaakov went down, he went down to Mitzrayim, right? And he's Lagor Sham, right? To dwell there, not to Lishtakea, it's the exact same Asham. The Yaakov didn't go, even though he went there for a couple hundred years, it wasn't Lishtakeh. But, so Mitzrayim basically, so if you break up the topography of the globe, okay, what you have is Eretz Yisrael is on the top, okay, then you have the Shaar Ha'atzos, and then you have Mitzrayim. Okay, so the Isser of returning to Egypt is that there's a path. Yetzias Mitzrayim was a path of bringing us up from the lowest level of Tama, which is Mitzrayim, and it was to bring us through the Midbar and through Sinai, Matan Torah, and to bring us into the highest place of Kedusha, which is Eretz Yisrael. So now the issue of returning is to go back down return back down to the lowest level of Tumah. So if you go from any land to Mitzrayim, you're going down, you're going away from the Kedusha, you're being Morid in Kedusha, you're going to Tumah. And likewise, if you leave Eretz Yisrael to any other land, right, you're also, it's mutter to live in Chutz Laretz, but not once you're living in Eretz Yisrael. Once you're living in Eretz Yisrael, to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz Laretz, that's considered returning to Egypt. Because the two opposite, it's like hot and cold. It's Mitzrayim and Eretz Yisrael. So anytime if you leave Eretz Yisrael and you're going to Chutz Laretz, you're returning to Egypt. You're going to that other extreme of Tumah. Okay, and that's why I say, according to the Rambam, it's like a Doraisa halacha. You're not chayiv, no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, but you'd be violating a lav. It's usher to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz Laretz because it's returning to Egypt. Halachically, it defines returning to Egypt. It's on the way. It's on the way. You're on the path towards Egypt. Okay, but leaving Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Okay, so now what do I mean by Kedusha? Right? What do I mean by Kedusha? Okay, so basically, I thought of four places where the Torah basically attaches certain mitzvot to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay, so the first one, they're all in Vayikra here. It's Vayikra, Yud Aleph, Mem Hei is the first one. Okay. So it's the end of Shemini. So it's talking about the Isurim of eating like bugs, right, and eating insects and these, you know, Shkatzim and rats and all these things. Okay, good. So you're not allowed to, so Torah warns you, so don't make yourself disgusting and don't be metame yourself, right, impurity by eating them. So sanctify yourself because God says He is holy. And don't make yourself the opposite of Kedusha's Toma, right? Don't make yourself impure with all the these bugs. Ki ani Hashem hamale eschem eretz Yitzrayim, because I am, you know, the God who took you out, who brought you up, right? Who hamale eschem eretz Yitzrayim lios lachem elokim vayizim ki kedoshim ki kadosh ani, right? So you should be holy because God is holy. And Rashi says a memhei, ki ani Hashem hamale eschem almanash tekablu mitzvosai. Halisa eschem. It was on the condition that you accepted my mitzvos that I brought you up. Davar acher, and there's a second pshat, which he always going to have this. Ki ani Hashem hamal eschem bekulam ksiv v'hotzesi. On all the other ones, which we'll see in a second, it says v'hotzesi. V'kan ksiv hamal, who brings you up. Tani debei Rabbi Shmuel, il mali lo halisa Yisrael mitzrayim, ele b'shvil she'im etamim b'shratzim k'shar umos dayan. Okay. So it would be enough if just that the Aliyah from Mitzrayim, that we no longer ate like all these disgusting insects, like all these other nations, that would be enough. Nowadays, I guess everybody's repressed, so it's not such a milah. Okay, but it's a milah. It's a milah for Klal Yisrael, right? It's a milah that we have this, now with the Aliyah of Mitzrayim, was for a Shratzim. Okay, and that's the Kedusha of it's in the appetitive, okay? And like the Ram say for Kedusha, it deals with Machalos Asiros. Okay, that's one aspect of Kedusha. Now the second one is Yud Ches Gimel in Vayikra. Okay, so this is Vayidab Hashem Moshe Le'imor Dabar B'nei Yisrael V'amart Le'hem Ani Hashem L'keichem K'maisi Eretz Yitzrayim Asher Shaftem Ba Lo Sasu U'K'maisi Eretz Kanan Asher Ani Mevi Eschem Shama Lo Sasu B'chukosechem Lo Seleichu. Okay, so this is the Kemais Eretz Yitzrayim, that's the pasuk the Rambam quotes before, it's talking about their arayos. Okay, and Rashi over there says it means also they were, I don't get the Rashi. Okay, fine, so it's Rashi says, Kemais Eretz Yitzrayim, Magid shemaisim shemitzriim v'shal kananim mikukol mikol umos. V'osu makom sheyashvu bo Yisrael mikukol min hakol. So where the Jews were living, where that area of Egypt where they started out, was like the absolute worst place in Egypt, right? Just like the Mikdash is like the highest place in Eretz Yisrael. So the place where the Jews were living in Egypt was like the lowest place in Egypt. Okay, it was the worst place of all Egypt, was where the Jews were living. Okay, come on, because it's Asher Yashavtem Ba. It's like they were. We started off. There's a Chazals. I don't even know where they are, but they're so famous that they the Memtesh Shari Tuma in Mitzrayim, and if we stayed in there any longer, I don't know where it's where exactly they are. That's what it means. It's that that idea is that there's like levels. Okay, and we start in like the absolute worst place, but like what's fascinating about this is like the halacha turns these philosophical ideas and it creates like a halachic structure and it like identifies places in the world and geographic locations with these philosophical ideas. Okay, and just like it does with Eretz Yisrael, which is like a land of Kedusha, and like the land of Eretz Yisrael becomes tied up in like these ideas of Kedusha, of being removed from Arayos and removed from Tumah, right? And you see the end of the pasuk, the end of the parsha. Is Ishmartim Atim as Chukosai, as Mishpatav, Losasim, Kol Tovis, Eila, Ezrach, Lagera, Hagar, Besochem, Kies, Kol Tovis, Eila, Asu, Anshe, Arat, Ashef, Nechem, Vatitma, Arat. Right? That the people in the Canaanim, like Egyptians, that's what they used to do in Eretz Yisrael, these kinds of Arayos and these kinds of Shkatsim. Velosaki, Arat, Estem, Betamachem, Osa, Kasher, Kaas, Agai, Shef, Nechem. And then the land vomits them out. Okay, Eretz Yisrael is a unique land, and it if you live in a certain way in Eretz Yisrael, it will spit you out. You cannot survive long, a few generations maybe, but at a certain point when it's right, Kishilim Avon Hamori, when the sin becomes complete, you can't live in Eretz Yisrael anymore. Okay, because it's a land of Kedusha. So it's like, this is already getting to a little bit into Hashkacha here, these Psukim. It's not just a halacha at this point. It's a reality of the land. That there's a different law of the land in Eretz Yisrael. But it's like a fascinating thing is that just like Eretz Yisrael has a Kedusha, and it's a certain way of life that's tied to the living in Eretz Yisrael and the Mikdash, is Eretz Mitzrayim has a certain Tumah. And there's a certain Derech Tumah that's associated with living in Mitzrayim and like a specific place where the Jews were, which is like the anti-Mikdash. Okay, it's a weird, interesting idea. Okay, now we have two more, and then we'll try to grab... move to that last part. So it's Yud Tes Chavav. So in Vayikra, Yud Tes Chavav. That doesn't look right. Okay, it says Lamed Vav. Okay, so it says like this. V'chiyagar yitchem ger ba'atzachem lo sono so, ki ezrach mekeni yelachem ha'ger gar yitchem v'haftu lo kemoch ki yelachem. Lo sasu avu b'mishpat b'mida mishkel b'n shura. So you have to have, you shouldn't have scales or weights that are like not really honest, right? Like you measure to a guy, you buy with a lighter scale, and you sell with a heavier one. So you're always getting a little bit extra on the guy. You're ripping him off because your scales are not, not really even. So it says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzeiti Etchem Eretz Yitzrayim. And Rashi says, Asher Hotzeiti Etchem Amanaskein. Okay? Amanaskein. The same thing. That's on the condition that you live this kind of just life, where you don't have a society, where you don't rip people off, and you have justice. That's the condition that I took you out of Egypt. Okay? And the Rambam says, the Rambam is, it's in Hilchos Geneva, in Perek Zion, I think Yud Beis. He says that if you have corrupt scales, it's like you're kofar in Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's like you're denying the whole Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because Yetzias Mitzrayim was taking us out of Egypt where they would rip each other off, right? There was no justice there. And it was not just a life of where they were steeped in taivas of achila and sexual, k'mayis Eretz Mitzrayim, but also in terms of justice, where they would steal from each other and you had corrupt practices. And in Mitzrayim, and Yetzias Mitzrayim was for the purpose of also giving us a just way of life. That's part of Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah of Shoftim, Titim, Echa, B'chol, Sharecha applies only in Eretz Yisrael. You have to set up Batei Din in Eretz Yisrael. It's a land of justice. And if you use these corrupt scales, what you really, Rambam says, you're being kofar in Yetzias Mitzrayim. And there's one other time the Rambam says you're kofar in Eretz Yisrael. For this last one, it's Perek Chav Hei, Pasuk Lamaches. Okay, so pasuk lamaches. So it says, okay, es kasbecha lo sitein lo v'nashech v'marbis lo sitein achlecha, right? You can't interest. You can't charge interest. A guy has he becomes poor. He needs a loan, and you're not allowed to. You have to. You're chayev to make him a loan, a person, right? V'chiyam achachikamati yado, right? You have to give him. You have to give him a loan, but you're not allowed to give him a loan with interest. And then the pasuk says, "Ani Hashem alkeichem asher otzisi eschem eretz Yitzrayim, loses lachem as eretz Kanaan lios lachem levakim." And once again, Rashi says, "Asher otzisi eschem eretz Yitzrayim, amanashi tekabalechem etzvosai afilu hein kvedus alechem." Right? Even they're very difficult. It's very hard for a person to make a loan without charging interest. Right? It's not an easy thing for a person. He feels like, you know, that money, he could do something with that money. He's really losing money. It's one thing to, you know, like, yeah, opportunity cost, money, and that's unheard of in the world right nowadays. People can't even fathom what economic system would look like if without interest, right? It's like a unbelievable thing. So the same thing is almanas, that the mitzvah Hashanah was almanas, you shouldn't charge interest. And that's the same, and I think all these qualities, all these things you see the Torah is like pointed to were found in Egypt, and God took us out to give us a totally different way of life. Right? We don't have the taivas, and you don't steal from your friend, and you don't take, you know, your friend losing money, becoming into a bad situation. You don't use that as an opportunity to turn a profit, right? Your friend needs a loan, and you don't say, "Well, now I can make some money here. I'll give you this loan, but you know it's 2% over LIBOR." You know, you don't do these. It's not profit opportunity. It's an opportunity for chesed, for tzedakah, to really help a person out. But not like in Egypt, where you just basically, you know, there's no compassion for the other person, but it's just simply looked at as a business opportunity. The other person's suffering.
Are there like specific things that like correlate with the way it was like Mitzrayim or something?
I think so. Yeah, I think that
these specific.
Yeah, right. It is you have like kedusha, which is like the achila and the bias asuros, right? And then you also have mishpat. Okay, you also have mishpat, where the drive for money and for wealth that was prominent in Egypt, where the people, where there was no idea of justice, it was really each guy was willing to, if he could get away with it, he would get away with it, in terms of, you know, like, nobody knows about your scales, it's not clear, you're not like robbing a guy, but just, I mean, you are, but it's not open. And the same thing with like a loan, oh, I'm making him a loan and just charging him interest, it's like legal, you know, it's all legal. So it's these kinds, it's a certain way of life that was in Egypt, which is, that's what Torah means. It's a certain way of life. It's a way of life where a person's involved in his instincts. Of course, Avodah Zarah is a big part of this. That's also the Torah of Avodah Zarah. It's prominent in Egypt. And you see that from Pesach, right? And also in terms of money and the corruption and the lack of justice. Okay? And that's like that's the activities that are associated with Eretz Mitzrayim. Again, that's the idea of the Tumah of Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael is, don't bring that into Eretz Yisrael. You're going up to Israel when you're going up in Kedusha. So you're going up into a life which is removed from all these things, where you have control over your instincts and you're living a life of Meshpat. Okay, and ultimately, the Kedusha always means, maybe to answer your question now, is Kedusha always means you're approaching God. Right? The higher up you go in Kedusha, you're coming closer to God. Okay. Now, obviously, like in terms of like the halacha, like that's like, I don't mean literal; it's metaphorical, literal, in the sense that the Shekhinah is in Yerushalayim, and when you're going from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael, you're coming closer to the Makom Shekhinah of Yerushalayim. When you're going to Mikdash, you're coming closer to, right? You're always approaching God. You're approaching the Shekhinah. So as you go up in Kedusha, you're coming closer to God, right? And that's because you're becoming more like God. That God is kadosh, v'yisim kadosh and ki kadosh ani. When you remove yourself from your instincts, right, you're becoming more similar to, right, mahu afata. Obviously, don't take these things, you understand, I hope you guys, in a sense, metaphorically, but in a sense, not. In a sense that you really are becoming doma to the Shekhinah. So as you become more just, and as you learn to control your instincts, and the appetitive, and the sexual, and in terms of your pursuit of money, right, and you leave Egypt and you're moving up towards Eretz Yisrael, you're considered going up and becoming closer to God. Right, and that's the idea of an aliyah. You're going up. And that's the idea always why it's going up, and that's why kedusha. The more kedusha you have, kedusha is always ultimately associated. Every time I think you'll find it with the Shem Hashem. Right? I don't know if you have a situation where there's Kedusha, where there's no Shem Hashem associated to it. Either it's because there's actual Shem Hashem, like in the Torah, or in Tefillin, or in the Tzitz, or something is hektish, where you call the Shem Hashem on something, or it's the Nachlas Hashem, like Eretz Yisrael, but always, Kedusha always is tied to the Shem Hashem. Okay, ultimately, it's always approaching the idea of God. And as a person becomes, removes himself from the Tumas Mitzrayim, and becomes closer to the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, so then he's coming closer to the Shechina, he's becoming more similar to the Shechina, the idea of his, in terms of his midos, his actions, and that's the idea of the aliyah, of going up into Eretz Yisrael. Okay. The last part, should we, do we have time? Do you guys want to...
How is when he's going up to Eretz Yisrael, how is his actions and everything are changing due to the fact that it's tied to... How
does it actually work?
It's just a piece of land. I'm saying, what do you mean, me going up?
Right. Well, I mean, it is just a piece of land in a sense, but it's the land of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov.
Right.
It has it's identified with their ideas. You have the Maros and Machpelah. You have Beis El where Yaakov lived, and then you have the Mikdash, and you have the Kohanim, and you have the Avodas and Mikdash. That's occurring there. And they teach ideas. And you have Yishalayim, and you have Trumos and Maestros, and Karbanos and Maestros Sheni, and you have all these mitzvos. And you have the people. The people of Eretz Yisrael are a people that, they're the only people who can possibly live in Eretz Yisrael permanently are the nation of God, the Am Hashem. And that's the Jewish people. And it's only when the Jewish people properly reflect the actions, the derech of the Torah and the derech of kedusha. So when the Jews are acting with chesed, tzedakah, and mishpat, which is the way that God acts, right, with his mahu afata, so then you go to Eretz Yisrael and you see the people of the land, and you see how they act, and you're influenced by there. Like a woman's allowed to force, she's allowed to force a divorce in order to move to Eretz Yisrael. And you can't compel a woman to leave Eretz Yisrael. And you can't, if she wants to live in Yerushalayim, you can't force her otherwise, right? Is always allowed to, the neighborhood and the people associated with Yerushalayim, because of the Mikdash, because of the Shechina, they're a different type of people. So if you go there, you're influenced by it really ultimately is the people. Okay, and the reason that land is chosen, I mean, look, there's a particular idea I don't really want to get into that has to do with Hashkacha. So that's, you know, that is there, and that's an element. Maybe we'll get to it in a second. That's actually the final point. Maybe we'll get to it. There is a different Hashkacha in Eretz Yisrael, but it's not just that. It's the mitzvos that are in the land, and it's the people of the land. And when the people of the land do not live up to the standard of the people of Eretz Yisrael, so then they're kicked out. Ultimately, and that's why we get booted from Eretz Yisrael periodically, okay? Because we can't live up to that standard, and we can't hang out around the Shechina, and eventually we don't accurately represent it, and it becomes a Chil Hashem when you have people worshiping Avodah Zarah and pursuing Arayos and Taivas, and you know that's like part of Eichas. There's no longer trustworthy people in Yerushalayim. You couldn't find an honest person in Yerushalayim anymore, and then basically you have the Chorban Abayas and you have the Gullus, and you get kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. Because you in order to stay in Eretz Yisrael, you have to live up to a certain standard where you reflect the Maisei Hashem, the action, the way that God acts, and that's the Kiddush Hashem of the people of the land. And people who go there, they're influenced by that. Okay, and that's. But I mean, the halacha really just it takes up these places and it gives them certain halachic definitions of kedusha, and this is tumah, even though. The reality might be like before, right before the Chorban, Eretz Yisrael wouldn't have been a great place to live, you know, practically because the people were living there. I mean, nevertheless, you could still go there, though, in terms of still considered.
I mean, Hashem designated that place as something that represented kedusha.
Right, and it has that kedusha. It always has that kedusha. It's never batal anymore. I mean, it could be batal. There is.
I mean, it wasn't originally the people. I mean, there's no people there. We weren't there originally.
No.
Right. So
no, but that was the look. That was the land. Okay, look, it's called Nachas Hashem. It preceded, ultimately preceded even Avram Avinu. Okay, but I'll tell you this this last point. I'll do it a little quickly. But is, I wanted to say, is the three places where the Torah warns us about going into. So if you don't understand, I'm just gonna do a little quickly. So I'll just, this is, you can work with it. There's more to go into the idea, but the three places, I think they have one thing in common. Is the first place is the Egyptians are coming down on us and we're getting really scared. It's the military, they're attacking us, and Moshe says, don't worry about it, you're not going to ever have to go back to Egypt. Okay. Second place is, the second place is the king is trying to be, excessively increase the military. Okay. Ramban says, what's wrong with that? Right? What's wrong with that? It seems like it's, in a sense, is a rational thing to do. You have to have a military, right? Nobody's saying you don't live in this world. But the idea is like the Ramban explains, is that he should be botech b'Hashem. He should have confidence in God. There's an idea of that, like a country feels insecure, and like they think that their security can only come through military strength. And of course, no matter how much military strength any country has, you're still insecure. You still can have terrorists coming in attacking. You can have biological warfare. You can have this country has a nuclear weapon. Like, there's just a limitation to how much security you can have in this world through a military. But if you're trying to get a certain state of security from your military, it never ultimately produces it, and it just becomes excessive military ramping up, more horses, okay? More tanks, more planes, more carriers, okay? And ultimately, you know, you end up with a military that costs, you know, 100 times what any other country spends on military. And it's still not big enough. You still need more money from the budget going to the military. Okay, fine. You know what I'm talking about. Okay? It's a neurotic kind of insecurity where you try to gain a sense of security from the military, but it ultimately never really provides it. So it just becomes more and more and more. Okay, the solution Ramban says there is he has to. Why is it also for the king to do this? Besides the fact that it ruins the country economically, all these horses. Who needs all these horses? But the answer is because his real sense of security has to come from God, and that is a possibility to have a security from God in Hashgacha. That's he can do what in reality is possible, and then that sense of security that he's looking for, he can't get in terms of the absolute. Security in terms of the results that he's looking for, but if he has a proper relationship to God, he's botech b'Hashem, he could have it. Okay, but as you see, it revolves the whole iser of where it puts it is bitachon, where the king is trying to rely on his military strength instead of his bitachon b'Hashem. Okay, the same thing with Klal Yisrael; they were afraid the Egyptians are coming down on them, and Moshe says, "God will fight for you. Don't worry about it, bitachon b'Hashem." Okay, and the right and God's okay. Good. And the last time is Netochacha, where basically we're being punished, and you're going to be afraid for your life, and you're scared, and you're afraid, and you're going to wish it was the night before, and you're just going to have a terrified heart, and you're going to be brought down in ships, right, to Mitzrayim, to the same way, and basically it's portraying the Onish of the Gullahs as like a total state of insecurity, right, where you have no security whatsoever, and basically we lost the entire sense. That's the ultimate curse of the Gullahs, is you're constantly in a state of insecurity. Okay, but if you look at all three places where the Torah chose to tack on this lav of Mitzrayim, it places it in situations which have to do with a man's security, his bitachon, where he's totally, you know, he's totally lost in the case of the Tochacha, but then by the Egyptians coming down and the king for his military strength, it's always it's directing you towards where you'll the idea of bitachon, of this person's security. Okay, and I think that's the final piece here. For the difference between Mitzrayim and Eretz Yisrael is this idea of bitachon. Bitachon in Hashem or bitachon in the physical. Okay, there's another difference between the two lands. So this is in Dvarim. It's in Dvarim Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud. So Moshe Rabbeinu is praising Eretz Yisrael. Okay, this is the Rashba in the Perash Agados in Tainus, in Daf Yiral, he talks about this. So he says, So Moshe Rabbeinu makes a comparison between Eretz Yisrael and Eretz Mitzrayim. Okay? It's not like Eretz Mitzrayim, Asher Yitzasam Yisham, which you left. Asher Tizra Zarcha Vishkisa Bragel Chokigana Yark, which you plant your seeds and you water it with your feet, okay? By drawing the water, you may build these canals, the Nile overflows, like a vegetable garden, okay? It's like unbelievable. It's amazing, okay? It's just this routine Nile overflows and it waters the entire Nile Crescent, and it's like an amazing, it's the greatest irrigation system, right, known to the ancient world, was the Nile River, okay? So this land that you're going into, okay, it's not like that. Harizashata, Ovim Shamal Rishta, Eretz Harm of Kaos. It's mountains, valleys. Limtar Shemaim Tishta Shemaim. Okay? You're dependent upon the rain. Okay? So the Rashba notices is what's going on here? Is it, are you nuts? You're trying to praise the land and you're saying, well, look, it's not like Egypt, which had the greatest irrigation system of the ancient world. Rather, you got these mountains and these valleys and you're dependent upon the rainwater, and right? So the idea, he says like this, is that it's you can't look at the land in the framework of it's not a comparison in the framework, just like before when we said the Aliyah was in the comparison in the idea of physical elevation. Okay, so I don't think Moshe Rabbeinu is comparing it in that framework. Okay, he's right. Let's see Rashi. Low character. Well, I'll see this Rashi. Okay, we'll skip that Rashi. Okay, so it's a comparison in the framework of Yehashkachas Hashem. Okay, is that in Eretz Mitzrayim is your security comes from the Nile River. Okay, it comes from the fact that you trust this river, you trust the laws of nature, that they're going to be routine, and that you're going to have food, and nothing bad is going to happen, and you plant your seeds, and you have confidence that you're going to have a good harvest, because every year, clockwork, the Nile overflows, and you're able to sustain yourself, okay? But in Eretz Yisrael, your bitachon doesn't come from the physical. Rather, it comes from the rain. It comes from Hashem, okay? And that's the ultimate source of your security, comes from God. And the comparison between these two lands, and this ultimately could be why Egypt is so depraved, is because they have this ability to take a security in the physical world. Okay, because of the Nile River, which was like, it is a central feature of the land of Egypt, is this Nile River. And like, the person takes a certain security in the physical world. It's very similar to what the king does with the military. Okay? The problem is, when you try to take security in the physical world, it's like, it ultimately never really provides you with that certain security that you were looking for. You're looking for like an absolute security, and you never really get there. So you're left with like this state of total insecurity, ultimately, that you keep trying to alleviate through pursuing the same plan over and over and over. And you see the Egyptians; they were like totally neurotic about these things. They're obsessed with the afterlife, and in like pursuing money so they could build themselves tombs. And they could put pictures on the walls, and that would carry them in the afterworld. And like, they were very obsessed with like trying to secure an afterlife through all these crazy kinds of means. And like, ultimately, it's the trying to take a security from the physical world. It's like a curse for these people. It's like that it's available, but it doesn't really work for the person. And the only actual sense of security that a person can have is ultimately if he lives in the real world and he has finite desires. Not like Eretz Mitzrayim, where the desires are infinite. They're like, you know, there's no limit, right? But if you can live with a life of Kedusha, where your desires are finite, right? Believe die, actually yom or die, you have a finite limit on what your desires are, so they're capable of being satisfied in reality. And you have a society of Mishpat, you have a framework where people could harmoniously exist within. You have Shalom, you can have Mishpat, you can have a real state of security. As much as is realistically possible in this world, this natural world, and for what is outside of your control, you're boteach b'Hashem, and you realize you're boteach that this is the only method that is reasonable. Besides, that can work to accomplish to do this is the hashkachas Hashem, and you're confident that this is the only method. You know, you do what is within the natural world, and you recognize the hashkacha, and you have confidence in the method, not necessarily in the results. You don't know how it will play out necessarily, ultimately, but you can have confidence that this is the proper method, a life of chachma, and the reliance on God for things outside of your control. And look, whether or not it works out, you don't really know, but the person is left with a sense of security. Okay, and that's Asher Gever Shei Batach Bashem, right? That's the the last one.
On the method, he's secure in terms of
that. This is the only method. Yeah, he's secure in the method. Like Yaakov, you have security that you live a life of chachma, where you deal with like the rational world. You have some horses, right? And then in terms of, does it really give you security ultimately from like the terrorist bombers? No. But like, well, all you can do is that for those types of things is you can rely on God and you're mispalo to God, and that there's no other method. Having a bigger military is not a rational thing. It's just going to ultimately, it's still going to be insecure, and you're still going to be subject to, you know, these kinds of things. And just to keep pursuing security through the natural world only doesn't make sense. Some things are outside of your control, and the only thing you can do is rely on Hashgacha for those things. If you do that, you can have security through the combination of acting with chachma and reliance on God, that ultimately the person is left with a sense, an internal sense of security, and not the, like this neurotic sense of anxiety that, you know, that the king is left with and the Egyptians are left with. Okay, the last pasuk is just the last Rashi of Yeshev. Is he criticizes Chazal criticizes Yosef for relying on the Sarah Mashkim to get him to remember him to Paro. So Rashi says, so he forgets him. So he says, La'achamer kan, Nesha talabo Yosef lezachro, huskakul yos osar shnei shanam. So he had to be prisoned for 2 more years. Shenemar asher geva asher sam Hashem miftacho, velo ponel rahatam. Okay, so he makes God his security, and he doesn't turn to the haughty ones. And Rashi says, velo batacho mitzriim akriim rahat. Right? And Rahatim means, that's Yeshayahu and Tehillim, it calls Egypt Rahatim, the haughty ones. Right? Because there's a certain gaiva associated with the place. So it's the bitachon of the person has to be, that's the pasuk in Tehillim, a person has to be place it in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he can't place it in the Egyptians in a person. Okay? And that's the ultimate, the same, like the final comparison between these two lands is where is a person going to place his trust, his security, in the Hashgachas Hashem or in the Nile River. And the Egyptians in the Nile River. Any questions? Is that? Okay, good.